Money FM 89.3, the best of the afternoon update. Money in the Market on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Money in the Market on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Willie King. Now, Savills Research has reported strong performance of the residential investment sales sector for the second consecutive quarter this year. No surprises there, given where real estate prices have been headed. Now, investment sales in the residential sector was the top performing sector, followed by commercial investment sales. Joining us on the phone to tell us more is Alan Chong, Head and Director of Research and Consultancy Savills. Alan, welcome to the show.
My pleasure.
Good to have you with us, Alan. So perhaps you can share with us, we'll start off with how high interest rates and increased global political uncertainties have changed the profile of investors for you.
Okay. Now, while higher interest rates and expected to continue rising, they have been reining in institutional investors who are sensitive to rate changes because they need to match net income versus interest expense ratios. However, for another subgroup of investors, they are pretty much interest rate insensitive. So they are for investment sizes of below $150 million, Singapore dollars, and they are active because they are from buyers, the buying groups like family offices, high net worth individuals, boutique private equity firms, and corporate entities. They are drawn to Singapore because of safe haven status.
How much of the investment sales value has fallen during the second consecutive quarter, Alan? And how does this compare to a year ago?
Well, in the third quarter, it fell 33% quarter on quarter. And in second quarter, it fell 25% quarter on quarter. But on year-on-year comparison, yet Q3 numbers were still down 32%. However, if you take the first three quarters of this year versus the first three quarters of last year, investment sales numbers were still like 26% higher.
And what do you think this? What do you think is really driving the market right now?
Well, I think it's all driven mainly by the flight to safety by the investor groups that I mentioned, high net worth individuals, family offices, boutique private equity firms, because they, in a sea of uncertainty and chaos in the global markets, people tend to want to look for safety.
Yeah, safety and perhaps physical assets as well, right?
That's right. So yield is not so much that of a critical factor. For these investors, they just want to have peace of mind and preservation of capital.
Okay, so I'm taking a closer look at your Q3 results. Residential investment sales, 72% of total investment sales value, a surge from the 45% that you saw in Q2. That's followed by commercial at 14, industrial 13, hospitality 0.6. And when we're looking at investment sales sector, talk to us. Were you surprised by these numbers? Any disappointing areas for you?
I think the investment sales numbers were expected to come down.
Okay.
Because largely, it is usually the block transactions that fall under the radar of the large private equity firms that dominate the market. So one block transaction can sometimes make up more than 10 to 20 of these smaller transactions that the high net worth individuals would like to buy. But so we expect these big ticket items to be fewer, these transactions in future, but I think the small ones are unexpected. Those below 150 million, we will continue to see the market being very active in that quadrant.
And just on the back of that, talk to us about the trend that you're seeing when it comes to industrial.
I think the market is still very hot for the industrial, largely because of the pandemic. And from that pandemic, people or players have seen the risk of potential supply chain disruptions. And this has taken on center stage for many of these players, both corporates and downstream from the users of these raw materials and semi-finished goods. So this has spurred the demand for industrial space, especially for warehouse and storage facilities. So food factories and cold storage assets are now in demand because labor constraints and the need to buffer against future food price increases or supply chain disruptions meet that need to store up excess inventory or to parcel out the cooking of food to central kitchens.
And it's not a small increase, is it? I was just looking, Willie and I were just looking at the numbers. Industrial investment sales improved by 240% quarter on quarter.
Yes, I think that market is still hot. The problem is that it's difficult to find stock moving forward because this space is dominated by JTC. And there are very strict regulations pertaining to the sale of industrial premises. So that means that a lot of transactions are either those that are in the private sector, or if the larger ones, they're perhaps purchased by the REITs that qualify under this JTC approved investor scheme.
I mean, following up on this, right, we have been hearing a lot about news about the tech space where they are actually doing headcount cuts. I mean, what are you looking, you know, when you're looking at the companies, tech companies as tenants? Are they also moving out or?
Okay, those that have signed on leases, tech companies, and they have signed on long-term leases like 5 years or longer, they can't move out, right? They can't. They are committed to the space. So unless they really go under, then they free up the space. If not, what we have, it will be an emergence of what we call shadow space, a space within a space in, that they signed on. But insofar as the landlord is concerned or the URA statistics or the JTC statistics are concerned, it's still taken up and occupied because the tech guys are still paying rent. We, for those spaces that they intended to take up space, I think that most they will just lose their deposit, so we may see some of them, but not a lot of space in terms of numbers, but in terms of square footage of space, they may be substantial, but they probably are in the business park space.
So, are you seeing an increase in the trend when it comes to shadow space? It's almost like a sub rental, right? Is that correct?
It is a sub-rental. Unfortunately, it's also not that difficult, not that easy to rent out these kind of, this sort of sub-spaces. And that's, I think shadow space will be the buzzword in the 2023 for both offices and business park.
Sounds very ominous, doesn't it? Tech players moving in the shadow space.
But I think, but as far as landlords are concerned, they're still paying rent. Right, they're signing on a long-term lease.
As long as the money's coming in, it's okay. Isn't that right, Alan?
Yeah, that's right.
And following up, right, Alan, you know, we are all talking about work from home last time, but now people are going back to the office. Is there a structural change here in office spaces where, you know, this hybrid office environment is, you know, is it still continuing this momentum, this trend?
Work from home is here to stay. More so because even if bosses want their employees to come back, all it takes is for, say, 10-20% of the companies in the economy to say you can work from home. That will already compete away talent from those companies that do not subscribe to the work from home, policy. So it's here to stay, and there will be a structural change in the way offices are leased out in the future. The perhaps co-working spaces will be more popular. A co-working space, those operators are now more keen to work with the landlords to manage their places instead of signing on leases in office buildings. So it's more like a JV where the co-working guy comes in and says, I'm the operator and the landlord provides the space. And they become, so they don't take on the lease into their balance sheet. So that's the kind of way moving forward. And moving forward, I think because of ESG and concerns about the environment, I think companies may soon wish that less employees come to work to reduce the carbon footprint.
Just a quick follow-up then, you know, Alan. So two things on my mind is the occupancy rate and the rent. You know, how will, you know, work from home here to stay affect these two drivers of offices?
It shouldn't be that much of a problem if supply is constrained. So even if demand is low, but if supply is even lower, that is new supply, then rents at least can be defended. Now, rents can more than be defended because there is inflation in the system. And higher conservancy charges, and in future, the need to spend on CapEx to make the building green marked. For grade B buildings and grade A buildings, they too have to upgrade their systems. That would drive up the service charge element. And this service charge element is pushing up gross rents. Landlords have to pass on some of these costs to the tenant. Whether they can pass on all the costs, one for one, to the tenant depends on market conditions. If the market is weak, then perhaps landlords will absorb a little bit of increase. If not, then tenants will absorb all. Now, if the good thing for the Singapore office market is that supply is really, really constrained or limited in relative to the previous decade for this year and much of next year. So it shouldn't be that much of a problem in terms of the rents, the rental market.
Alan, just to wrap up then, you've mentioned some key trends that you're watching in the year ahead. You've mentioned shadow space, ESG. What are some of the other key factors that you're going to be watching out for in the year ahead? We're now heading into the fourth quarter.
All right. I think it will be what will develop from the conflict in the war in Ukraine and how Hong Kong positions itself relative to what China wishes and what the rest of the world wants. Because right now, Hong Kong is caught between a rock and a hard place, between the asymmetric kind of policies they have against COVID in China, and the rest of the world is going, say, it's like, it's back to, that's life, we'll just live with it. Now, if Hong Kong can manage its way through to open up more, then it will be, I think it will relieve some of the pressure here. For not so much the office space, but more so for the residential market leasing space, which, the rents are going up double-digit month on month, percentage-wise. So that's not good in the long run. But as far as the landlord is concerned, they are pretty nice and happy. It can more than offset rising interest rates. So what's happening in Hong Kong, the war in Ukraine, and later on we may see currency issues. The yen breaking through 150.
That's right.
Are we going to see a repeat of 1997 Asian financial crisis? All these things are in the backdrop. But if the supply is constrained, then I think even if there is a black swan event again, you will probably be able to ride it through pretty smugly.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Alan Chong, Head and Director of Research and Consultancy at Savills.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.